All right, everybody, welcome back to Master of the Universe Horror Podcast, episode 71. And we all got the CJK motherfucker to the max and old man beast Gabe. How y'all motherfuckers doing tonight?
Good.
Yep, pretty good.
Whoa, what's this? Hey, hold on, I found something. Hey, Mark, how's it going, man? How you fucking doing, dude?
Wait, you guys have done 71 of these?
Yep.
Is that what? Really?
Yeah, you did the first, I think so. 10 or 12, I think. Wow.
Yeah, I think, let me find the last one posted. Yeah, it should be about 70. Yeah, 70.
Well, no, this is 71. Chucky was 70.
Yeah, Child's Play 3 was 70, that's right.
Yeah, so 71, dude. So today, we're talking about the beautiful, what does Bill Murray say? We're the Ghostbusters. We're the beautiful, though, whatever. Ghostbusters Afterlife, we all saw it in theaters, so we thought, well, why not have old Mark come back and talk about it since he was saying that Chris was going to get off light or something like that? I don't know.
I said that?
No, I'm just...
Let me turn this down, dude, because I'm watching the game. Chris caught me off guard, dude.
Yeah, third quarter, it's like 12 minutes left or something.
Oh, man, I think it's by Chris.
So Ghostbusters Afterlife, dude. All right. So Chris, you know, the breakdown, the analysis, sis, you know, what did you think about the movie, dude? How was it watching it in theaters? And you haven't watched the first two in full, have you?
I watched the first one in full recently. And then prior to recently, I hadn't watched them in full since I was like 9 or 10. But this one, of course, you had the theater experience, a damn good theater too, comfortable. So yeah, watching it in the theater, you know, with the big ass fucking screen, the great audio, the darkness, everything, it amplifies the experience, makes it better. So I mean, you're always going to give it an extra, let's say, Meltzer here, half a star extra than you would if you watched it alone at home. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I haven't walked out of a movie theater that pleased with what I just saw in a long time.
Wow. Gabe, what was your take before we get into the movie?
No, it was pretty... it was a good family film. It wasn't amazing, but it had some throwback to the first one. Good nostalgic kind of stuff. It had its highlights in that movie. Good family film. I mean, overall, though, is this going to be something I'm going to watch again? Probably not. But, you know... For the little ones, I probably would go ahead and just throw it on for them.
Hey, G-Mike, can I step in? Because that's funny, because like, I want to watch it again. Like, I want to show it to some of my wife's family that hasn't watched it yet. I'm pre-ordering it next paycheck. That, like, I don't think it'll be ready until January, but you can pre-order it next week.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's pretty good.
Pretty good. I thought it was okay. It was much better than the one prior to this, and like, you know, I had a little bit of fun with it, and of course they had the guys from the original Ghostbusters, so it made it a lot better than I would have liked. If those guys weren't in there, I wouldn't have given it as high of a score as I'm going to, which is not much, but still. But Mark, you know, what was your overall thoughts, dude, when you were watching it? How many eye rolls did you do?
How many eye rolls?
Yeah.
Okay. Well. You know what? Chris gave it this incredible quick review. It was the greatest movie he's ever watched. He put it up there with Shawshank Redemption and Gone with the Wind and Forrest Gump and all that. But for some reason, so you know what that means, dude.
Yeah.
You know, it was worse. It was much worse than what you originally thought, dude. You know that. So, I mean... There were some little parts that, you know, I found humorous, and then, you know, the nostalgia stuff, the callbacks to the real Ghostbusters movie 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But I thought it was, I'm definitely, like Gabe said, it's not one I'm gonna probably watch again. I'm definitely not gonna watch it again, dude. That's for sure.
Hey, Chris, I'm about to show my whole fucking family, and I'm pre-ordering it. I got the Ghostbusters T-shirts for everyone. Oh my god, fucking classic! So let's talk about it, dude. So Chris, dude, since you're the one that We don't try to steal the spotlight from you, because then, you know, then you'll say that we talked about everything. So what did you like specifically about the movie?
Specifically, what I liked about it is it wasn't just starting over with a new fucking team of people, you know, just to start over or just to reboot or whatever. Like, if you're gonna do that, they did it. Forgive me for saying it, but they did it more akin to Cobra Kai, where like you're using actual characters from the origin movies, and you're letting them play a part in it, and you're letting them be involved in it, and you're hearkening back to events from those things. Like Mark said. You know, that's exactly right. Is you have to.
He's selling for Mark.
No, and like you have to do that though, because you're not gonna, if you're taking an old concept and trying to put a new face on it, it's not gonna have credibility. It's those originals, those OGs that give it the credibility. So I think that was nice, and it was just a very nice story as far as, you know, here's the daughter of the beloved Egon Spengler. You know, she's fallen hard times, have to move out to her dad's. You know. Dusty.
Don't talk about hard times to me, Daddy.
And then they move out there, and you know, everyone's laughing about what her dad had been, the dirt farmer, and da da da. And slowly they're uncovering things in the house and where else, and learning about his past, learning what to do and how to do what he did. And then they eventually, you know, it has. I won't get too deep in it because we'll talk about that later. But I think. It had a good story, and it had good harkening back to original characters, and very emotionally touching. And we'll leave that for later. But
the one thing I didn't like about it is, like, I guess I'll just start trashing it since Chris is playing he's playing babyface. Is like, I felt that besides the main girl, well, Phoebe or whatever her name is, like the working Spengler, that everyone
that was a girl.
Phoebe.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that they try to like throw in all the gimmicks, right? They got like a Korean kid or whatever, and the black chick, and then
thank you for saying that, because this is something I was thinking when we were in the theater watching it. It was like Phoebe. I was like,
no,
okay.
Well, the thing is with me today when I was thinking about the film was I was all like, so I was like, who are the Ghostbusters in there? And I had to think for a while. And just because I had to think for a while, that was a problem. I started laughing. I'm like, I know it was the working little girl. And then I was like, that one dude that was following her, he just seemed too dorky to be a Ghostbuster, but not like funny enough to be where you could take him serious. And, you know, and then I was like, was her brother a Ghostbuster? I was like, well, he has to be, because I remember him driving the car. So I was like, okay, but it didn't seem like he had anything to do besides drive the car. And then I was like, who's the other Ghostbuster? And I was like, I was legitimately thinking for a good while. And I was like, was it that chick that he was, you know, just fell head over heels in love with, that just all of a sudden tagged along and became a Ghostbuster? And then I was, I had to look online. I was like, yeah, she's in the poster. And I'm like, man, that's some lazy ass writing, man. So that was my take on the soft reboot to, you know, I felt that they didn't have enough of the old Ghostbusters in there to kind of make these people likable, because these people didn't really have much of a personality. But that's just
me. Is that the technical term, a soft reboot, when you're doing kind of a reboot but you're still hearkening to old events and old characters?
It's a retelling of the story, but not, I guess not too much. I guess I don't know.
Really, I think the way this movie was made is just they wanted to make a new movie. Someone paid them to some random writers to say, hey, write a new Ghostbusters. They watched part one and just said, let's just take all this shit and put in a new one, mm-hmm. and people will fall for it, because it has all the old stuff from the newer one, mm-hmm. you know, and
Gozer,
technically,
whatever.
Yeah, I mean, man, there's like so many damn things to pick apart from this movie that makes it terrible. But like I said, it's not completely terrible, because this is, honestly, it was like straight out for the kids. This is like straight out like one of those family films. Mm-hmm. I mean, diversity family films. This is exactly what that
yeah,
was.
Yeah, Ghostbusters. It is Ghostbusters 2021.
Yeah, and even then, like what we're talking about, like the newer Ghostbusters, like Phoebe and her, they weren't even Ghostbusters. All they were doing were discovering what their grandpa, you know, whatever he did.
Right.
That was it. They didn't even say they were going to be Ghostbusters. Yep. All they did was just happen to put on the suits and try to chase after around one freaking ghost. And then later on, towards the end, you get like the badass who is nothing more than the original badass from the part one. Mm-hmm. It makes it seem like the whole Ghostbusters theme out of this damn movie makes it seem like there is no other threat other than Zool.
Yeah.
And guess what happened? What? Zool came back. Oh, what do we do about it? Let's go ahead and put him back in the ground. Okay, well, we trapped Zool now.
They're even saying the same jokes where they're like, are you a god? And it's like all the same. It was like, yeah, it was like they took all the shit for the original.
Yeah, that's all it was. It was nothing but more than references and nostalgic stuff. And like I said, I think the whole thing was more of a gimmick because they think people will fall for it just because they love the first one so much. Yeah, we're totally going to love the second one because all that old stuff is in the new one, right? Mm-hmm. But you didn't... There's no different ghost.
Yeah.
Like Slimer, they replaced Slimer with the exact same fat piece of shit that was there just eating
things. Don't talk about Chris like that.
I know, he can hear you, dude.
I mean, congratulations to these guys for throwing in a somewhat big movie star like Paul Rudd in there. But I mean, really, I mean, how far could you really go with that? This is great for the little ones. They don't want to watch the old original one because, you know, honestly, in my opinion, it's great, yeah, and it's kind of grainy a bit, and, you know, these kids don't have much attention for, like, you know, getting spoiled by all these newer graphics and CGI shit and everything. They're not going to pay attention to some old farts, you know, talking about ghosts and plasms and all that shit. They don't care about that. They just want to see all the action. So when they see little kids, like we saw Phoebe in the other one, podcast was actually entertaining. But, you know, watching these two kids, they feel like they can relate more on their level. And then if you're having any teenagers watching this damn movie, then you get the kid from, what, Stranger Things?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, he was from Stranger Things. Oh, I can relate to him because he's more my age and he goes through teen shit like the way I do. I have feelings. Yeah, no shit. This movie is great. Like I said, don't get me wrong. I'm trashing it, but this is like a family film. This is like for kids that don't have the attention span for watching like the original part one or the original, you know, all these older, you know, classic movies that we really love, you know, and we grew up like we can watch that shit because we love it. Yeah. You know, we grew up with it, but now they came out with a new one. I was so hyped about this, but honestly, they didn't give me no new ghosts. They even threw, like, remember the damn taxi driver in part one, the original one? There was that damn corpse, that damn zombie. They threw his dumb ass back in there, but now he's sitting at a diner. Oh, congratulations.
I forgot that part.
Yeah, and then, like, same thing. Phoebe and the other one or whatever, they end up in jail. Remember in Ghostbusters part one, the Ghostbusters actually get thrown in jail?
Yeah.
Same shit. Remember they also get one phone call to call the mayor?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, these fuckers called, what was it, Dan Aykroyd? They called his that.
And remember the prison guard, who are you going to call?
Exactly. Starts winking.
Yeah, the major differences is just the scenery, which is not a major city like New York, which was kind of sad. I like to see buildings blow up and shit. You know, so they're out there in the middle of boom country where Lud.
But there's a Walmart. Fuckers
are. Yeah, it's fucking shit. It's like one Walmart out of the whole fucking damn wherever county they're at, you know. And it's getting me riled up, but it's a good movie, but it's more for the kids. This is a family film.
It's for the
brain dead. That already says for the brain dead, right? The only unsophisticated would really like that one, right, Chris?
It was a fun movie. And yeah, it is, and you know, he's right. It is a family movie. It's, you know, the whole family can sit there and watch that and enjoy it. But it's also, I was watching it and I couldn't, like, early on, they have Phoebe and the kid podcast. And both of them, I was like, is Phoebe a girl? Is podcast a boy? Or are they trying to celebrate that whole gender identity crap? And then, you know, of course, then there's, what's his name, Trevor, and the black girl at the diner, her name's Celeste. So they're, you know, pushing the whole, like it's like, in the past 2 years, I can't remember one commercial where, you know, it's a couple on the commercial that are the same race. It's always the interracial thing. So they're pushing that. But if you can look past that, it's actually pretty fun. You know, It's the grandchildren and the daughter discovering all this stuff about Egon Spengler and eventually using it to do something good, and then they bring back the original OGs, and it's fun. It's enjoyable. I liked it. I know someone like Mark, for example, or someone like y'all who's going to be a little more hardcore about it, you know, I get that, but, you know.
So, yeah, for me, I mean, like, the only parts I liked were, like, the beginning. You know, I really liked that beginning because you're like, oh, you know, I already knew. It was like, oh, this is, you know, Egon. And the ghost, you know, did the attacking, and, of course, he dies. And I was like, well, what figures? And, when that happened, I was like, you know, I didn't read anything about it. I don't think it takes anyone, like, any kind of rocket scientist or some great writer, right, to figure out that Egon's going to come back probably as a ghost. You know, once that happened, I was like, oh, he's gonna come back as a ghost. And sure enough, he did. And that was like Chris's, you know, popping part. Was, I mean, for me too, I mean, not, it was nice to see him come back, but the whole point was that all the Ghostbusters came back, and I thought if they were in the film more to get these kids more over, because again, they didn't have any personality, that it would have made them more likable, would have gave them more stuff to talk about. But it just seemed like the Finn Wolfhard, you know, the older brother, he's just like walking around and following that chick and driving her car. Like, I really didn't understand who he is other than a love-struck guy, and he didn't seem funny. He didn't seem anything. Like, I understand, you know, Bill Murray's character in the first one, he's in love with Sigourney Weaver, but he's like, you know, he's the funniest guy in the whole film. He's not just the guy that's in love. And here it just seemed like he had nothing to do other than just follow this chick. The other chick just seemed like, again, her too. No personality. You know, Ernie Hudson's the new guy, and he's just kind of like, you know, if there's a paycheck, you know, I'll do anything. And he's just fucking, you know, kind of being funny, but not as funny as the other guys. He's like the oddball in, but
all this for $11,500 a year.
But I mean, that's
I thought Paul Rudd did a good job. I mean you're never gonna have a new, you know, Bill Murray again, but I think that for this period of time, I think he was a funny, you know, relatable character, and then they laughed at his name being Gary Gruberson.
Yeah, he was like the only thing I actually liked. The only character I liked besides, of course, the Ghostbusters in the film. Of course, he's the teacher, and yeah, he was the only one that was interesting, and he was like in love with the mom, but he was also, you know, like not a scientist, but a teacher, and he understood the physics and all the crap or whatever. He was, you know, trying to figure out what the shock waves were. So, like, more, I think more of him, or just, I mean, and him and the Ghostbusters, he should have been working with the Ghostbusters. I thought the kids should have been older, like maybe like old enough to maybe take over the Ghostbusters business, not like barely old enough to drive, but not really without getting, you know, pulled in. So a lot of problems in there.
Yeah, like I like the setup for it. Like it gave it a lot of, it kind of hooks you in because you're kind of wondering like what was going on, like what was chasing after Egon in the beginning of that movie. And it kind of like, you kind of wonder like what happened to the Ghostbusters. So that this movie kind of just, the whole movie is just kind of built around that, just trying to, they're getting little clues. So it's just like barely keeping you, you know, as an adult, you're just like barely keeping interested in it because you want to know what happened to them. And then later on, like when you're already like 75% into the damn movie, then they start already explaining what really happened to them. You know, they all kind of went their separate ways, and the ghosts, you know, they became limited. You know, they did too good of a job, like they said in the damn movie. You know, honestly, like the main character that I thought was Paul, Chris is right on Paul Rudd. You know, he was entertaining. He wasn't that bad. The one I thought was funny as shit though was the little kid named Podcast. That little fucker is funny as shit. I don't know. He made me laugh throughout that damn movie. But that's the other me. Ones are
that's me the following only other Mark. One that,
huh?
Me following Mark trying to get a podcast out of him.
Yeah, I know. We haven't even heard much from Mark about like how much he like, you know, what character he likes. What do you like, Mark?
Oh, I got a lot to say. I'm just waiting for y'all to
to get y'all's to shine a little bit. It's all right. So what I liked and I was immediately turned off, dude. Once I saw that, I'd said it earlier on the group chat or yesterday, whenever the fuck I said it. Some androgynous kid. I was like, is that a girl or a boy? What the fuck is that? Is with the curly hair, you know, with the glasses and shit. And then I see the the fucking dorky, tall, bony little brother or whatever. They're just, you know, immediately he gets he's not masculine, but he gets emasculated by the black chick. Yeah. Here, let me put my jacket on you because you're a punk, dude. Oh, it's my boyfriend's jacket. You know? Yeah. Oh, come on, dude. Immediately, guys are pieces of shit. They're punks. You know, that's the message that I was getting from that. I said, oh, my God. And then Paul, y'all were saying Paul Rudd was like, I wish there was less of Paul Rudd, dude. He hasn't been good. He's been the same character. He's been the same character since he's been on Clueless, dude. The same Clueless. You could take him in the same fucking movie, and he's the same character, same delivery. He's like Kevin Hart, dude, but you know, taller and not black, dude. It's the same thing, dude. I said, what?
Well, that's what I said that to Daniel, like when we were in the theater when Paul Rudd was like, you know, I know you're gay.
From that fucking 40-year-old virgin, right? Yeah. Yeah, I know you're gay.
The same character, dude. I was like, less of him. And then he got me even more angry when they had him as the, you know, he's trying to ask the mom out or whatever, but he can't just come out and ask her. Again, they're emasculating him too. I said, come on, dude. I know it's not a movie for me. It's not gonna be fucking Conan out there, dude. I understand that, but fuck, dude.
But you don't like Conan, what, though.
I know, but you know what I mean to get the point across, dude. But one fucking man with some nuts, dude, to do something, dude. Just to stand up. The fuck. I guess the guy with the most nuts was the sheriff or whatever. Dude, he was on there for 2 minutes.
Yeah, I was gonna say that too. Yeah, the damn sheriff was the only one standing up, throwing everyone at their ass in jail. Yeah, he was like the only badass there.
I was completely turned off by all of that shit. I said, man, dude, it's way too woke for me, dude. But I mean, I had my daughter with me. I like the nostalgia stuff. Like I saw the stacked up books from in his living room, and I was like, oh shit, it's from the library or whatever, you know, from part one. I was like, oh, that's cool, you know. But after that, it was immediately downhill, dude. And then Paul Rudd comes in, and I said, nah, man, I think I've had it on. I've had about enough, dude. So hopefully the next one he doesn't come out in it, dude.
They did have like extra cut scenes on that if you stay for the extra credits. Honestly, we didn't stay around for that, so I definitely missed it, but I did find out that there was extra scenes. So I don't know, if maybe Mark, did you catch the extra cut scene from that? Because I saw
Bill Murray and Sigourney Weaver. Was there more than that?
Yeah, there actually was. There was a little more. Yeah, I didn't even catch that ending. Like I said, I think we were all pretty much done the moment that they had that heartfelt moment with Egon again. You know, everybody was tearing up, and you know it. I mean, that was pretty much about it. This whole movie was nothing more than, like I said, it's nothing but references and nostalgic stuff, which is great. You should have thrown all that shit in the beginning, but then, you know, at least, you know, the rest of the damn movie, make it newer and interesting or something. Since they had more wide open range out there in the damn desert or cornfields, they should have been blowing shit up, like left to right, blow up a mountain or something. I mean, blow up some scenery and shit. Mm-hmm. You know, at least New York had like damn falling buildings. Even in part two, which apparently a lot of people thought Ghostbusters 2 sucked ass, at least part two still included with like a lot of like destruction and like some weird ass shit. They even threw in a damn baby threatening his life and all that, trying to take over. you know, how much can the reboot really kind of soften that reboot up? Or not even a reboot, whatever the continuation or whatever this thing is.
You said that part two sucked, or you said people say part two sucked. I've never heard that till Joe mentioned that last week, dude. I always thought part two, actually part two probably, for me, it's a little bit better than part one. I mean, but that's still, it's not like the fucking, like, part two's 1,000 times better. They're both really good for me, dude. For me, they're really good. So I've never heard that shit, dude. If somebody say that it's crap, but
you know, I'm gonna have to.
Yeah, because like the main thing. The main thing, like some of the friends and people that I've talked to, you know, when we talk about movies and stuff, the main point that these people come off of why this movie sucked is not so much as like the villain or like the main, you know, antagonist or whatever. It's more that it was all on emotions, and a lot of people thought that was kind of crap because, like, you're trying to throw feelings into it. Like, when they got into the Statue of Liberty, and they said that ooze that was griming all underneath New York City, which was a big threat, they found out it acts off not just emotion, but, like, more like a... That's why, like, when you yelled at it, all of a sudden the ooze or whatever started moving and shit. So that's why when they got in the statue, and that shit would bring to life whatever. So that shit got into the Statue of Liberty, or I think they poured it on. I forgot what it was. But they got that shit moving by singing a damn song, and it was like a lot of emotions and shit. And that's a lot of people that I talked to that kind of brought it down. I mean, like you said, like, it was interesting and it was different. And that, to me, that makes it better than this, you know, whatever this remake, reboot, soft opening, whatever it is. But honestly, like, I'd still prefer part one, you know, mostly because the Marshmallow Man was the main destruction in there. He was tearing shit up.
I know somebody like that that's, like, soft and round and just causes chaos everywhere they go, dude.
Oh, man.
Can I step in real quick and just... I'll actually agree with Mark. I on Thanksgiving Day, you know, we were
here. You're lazy?
Yeah.
You agree with me that you're lazy?
But on Thanksgiving Day, we were just kind of going through channels, you know, movie here, movie there, game here, whatever. But I caught the last, like, 20-something minutes of part two, and, like, I had never really touched that movie before. And I was like, hey, this is really good. I need to watch the whole thing. So, I mean, yeah, and then of course, it's got Bobby Brown on top of that, so.
So
I love part two. I love part two. I've always liked it. It actually scared me as a kid with Viggo coming out and stealing the baby. I thought it was, yeah, amazing. I've always liked them both a lot. And then, yeah, when, you know, nowadays, you know, everyone does reviews and you watch some of the bigger channels, and, like, the consensus is that everyone really doesn't like part two, and that it's like, oh, it's a bad film, and, oh, it's not. I'm like, what? You know, because I grew up just watching a film. If I liked it, I liked it. There was no other influence on it. So to, like, really like a film and then to hear people, like, collectively say, no, this movie sucks, I'm like, what the fuck? So, yeah.
Bill Murray's got a bunch of really good one-liners in part two, dude. Mm-hmm. I don't know how people could think it's crap. That doesn't make sense to me.
Mr. Reichman, there's whatever in the gift shop. The Upper West Side.
I thought it was a new challenge, a new villain, like the continuation from part one. I don't see why you would hate part two, like why anyone would hate it.
Would someone do a lot of things with that? Never mind.
Yeah, like, in my case, like, it's not my favorite film, but I enjoyed it just because it was different. It was like just a new challenge for the Ghostbusters to, you know, to go ahead and try to bring down, you know, whatever was haunted that, or that painting, you know, that was some malevolent monster that was stuck in the damn painting. It was cool. There was, like, it was just a new challenge. And honestly, that's what I was really, really excited when they showed a teaser trailer for Ghostbusters, because there's so much background on these characters. Like, even in the damn comic books, you know, there's crossovers where they meet the Ninja Turtles. They meet other...
Oh, that sounds awful.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. There's so much that they can do with it, but all they did was bring back a, you know, a character from part one. I was like, no, I don't want to see the same damn Zool thing again. We already experienced it. I'm an older crowd. I get it.
But it was so it was so similar. Like even though they brought it back, it was beat for beat, and the dog and all that. It was like everything was the fucking same with the villain. That it was just like, okay, I've seen this before, and they're just now we have less interesting characters. It's for little kids, and you know, I don't give a fuck now. Yeah,
I think they should have done something with Afterlife to give people a reason to go back and watch part one. Like they could have made the references, but still give like a new challenge or something to go ahead and say, yeah, this demon came out and he's like wrecking, you know, all of, you know, he's from another dimension and blah, blah, blah. Apparently he's like, I'm just making shit on the fly, but he's the cousin of Zool. So leave it to little kids. They're watching shit and they're like, what the fuck is a Zool? Well, you got to watch part one. Oh, no shit. Hell yeah. It'll give people a reason to go back.
Yeah.
Not just say like, oh,
it's Nancy's landlord, dude. They're, oh, fuck, you know.
Oh, man, I bet you she would make a good movie all on her own, right?
Of just rescheduling on people and, you know, paying landlords in cash. And,
the ghost they could never really see because she's always canceling on them, dude.
Ghostbusters, the Mata Life.
And not knowing how to get registered. The Mata
Life. Is there any Nancy movies, Chris, that maybe we don't know of that you have?
It's like The Fly. I remember that.
Huh?
That Fly. What was that movie? The 86, The Fly?
No. I'm talking about the ones that you made with Nancy.
No, I no movies.
No movies to be had. Nor do I care.
If you did have long enough videos of like Nancy, it would probably be like The Ring. You watch that shit, and you're probably gonna end up dying anyways.
I think Mark has a few. Mark has a few classics. So, you got something to say?
So, but in the end, I mean, for me, I loved it just because I liked the narrative of, you know, eventually it's not just that they're discovering what their dad or grandfather, whatever, did. He shows up without seeing him. He shows up. He's guiding Phoebe through the house and helping her learn things and see things and find things. And that's cool. You know, you figure it out pretty quickly that it's him, his ghost or whatever, but you don't see him. And then in the end, when you see him joining up with the other three and defeating this enemy and then reuniting with his daughter that he was estranged from, I mean, that was meaningful. And I mean, if
what ruined it for me was that, of course, I like seeing Harold Ramis in there because I'm a fan, but it's like all his daughter did all his daughter did was have negative things to say about him. So it's kind of like,
right.
So you're like, okay, you see him, but you didn't give a fuck about him. So you're like, that's it. So,
but sometimes all it takes is just that one close experience like that. And you know, and if you're someone from a kind of a personal family experience where, you know, there's a reason lost or whatever, you know, that's meaningful and that's touching and that's, I like that. And especially someone who's gone through that and they're going to see that, it's going to touch them. And that's really awesome.
So if you had high blood pressure, dude, you'd be like, God damn, it's a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know what was cool though? I actually found interesting and I kind of wish they would have went a little, not that I guess it really matters, but it would have been cool for them to go a little deeper into, would have been that the damn guns, the damn phaser guns that they have. Like, they actually showed a close-up on it, because you always see it, like, in the other movies. You see it, like, from a good view, and you see the whole thing and stuff. But this one actually kind of zoomed in, and it shows, like, where the on switch.
Yeah.
Because I never caught the on switch from that. I always see them, like, okay, guys, on, and they press the little trigger on it, and it's on. But they do something else in the back, and so I saw them trigger that when they were getting ready to test it out, and I was like, oh, shit. I was like, oh, okay, so there is, like, another switch to that shit. Yeah, that's pretty fucking cool. Like I said, it's fucking meaningless in the fucking movie, but I thought it was fucking cool as shit, just watching them, like, you get a little more close up and personal with that damn phaser gun.
Yeah. And,
you know, I mean, other than that, I mean, shit. It was cool they brought out the old, you know, the Ghostbuster trolley out there, but
Ecto-1.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you all saw that, but to try to advertise a little more for it, they made a Transformers came out with an Ecto-1, so you can come out with the damn car, and then you can transform it into a little fucking, you know, just like fucking Transformers and shit. Wow. Well, yeah, like I said, these fuckers come across fucking damn everything. There's so many damn villains that they could have chosen from, but like I said, I think it's like a younger crowd or some younger screenwriter, whoever wrote this shit, just said, yeah, I love part one, let me just go ahead and throw this shit in part two, you know, or part three, if this is part three, I guess, you know. And I don't know, I hope, you know, whatever this is, you know, whatever mistakes or whatever they catch from this, hopefully these people read reviews so they can know what not to do for the next one, if there is going to be a next one. I mean, this is great for the kiddos, because they're not going to understand any of this shit. They're all like, oh, they have a laser gun, that's cool. Yeah, yeah, and they don't really give two flying shits about, you know, the damn monsters and shit like that. They just know that, oh, look, these kids are the same age as me, and they speak my language. We're all, you know, how Mark said, we're all woke. You know, yeah, I get it, diversity. No, no, man. It's all about the damn guns and ghosts. That's the whole point of Ghostbusters. You're adding afterlife. I want to see some zombies, or I want to see some fucking crazy ass shit. Not those little marshmallow fuckers. Did you see that? They even brought those fuckers back, but smaller version. Oh, that was lame.
At the department store and the blender and shit.
Oh, yeah, that was just sad. I was just like, oh, I don't know. To me, that was like a good marketing tool for them to make like little plush toys or keychains or something. So you can be like, yeah, look at it, I thought it was cute. You know, put that on my keychain with the rest of my shit. You know, like, no, no, man. You don't want that. You want to go after like some, you want to get some cool gross stuff. I mean, that's what we got freaked out from part one. Remember the damn ghost lady in the damn basement? She was fucking weird. She was creepy. You know, and I want more of that. Like something more weird. But yeah, we didn't even really get that. You know, that was cool. They brought back Sigourney Weaver for a little bit, you know, rehashing the experience that you saw in part one with what's his name? Venkman? Dr. Venkman. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, Peter.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, that's cool, you know, Sigourney Weaver, you know, made her do, she showed up. But I don't know, man.
And then the secretary front desk lady?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. She came back. But she didn't even say, she wasn't even really doing much. What was she doing? She's a
I think she just did the week out one or something, right?
Yeah. Oh, God dang it. Yeah, she ended up, she was just taking care of Egon. She had a thing for him. Because they said, oh, who are you? Oh, I'm his secretary. She didn't really elaborate much. But, you know, they had like a thing, you know, kind of always looked at each other and stuff, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, even then, you didn't even really get much out of her, either. You gotta make your own decision. You gotta go for what you know. It comes a time in our lives. You wanna be bigger. You gotta keep on pushing. You gotta learn to take control, yeah.
Mark, you want to rate this motherfucker?
I mean, I really don't. But, you know, Chris already said it was fucking fantastic. Greatest movie he's ever seen. So, just on that, because you already know whenever he says something, whenever he's for something, if you go along with him, it's bad news for you, dude. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to give it like a 4.5, dude. 4.5. And it would have probably been a 6.5, but that androgynous child, that's about it.
Androgynous child. I like that.
But one thing that nobody brought up, nobody made a point to ask about, dude, of this movie, dude. Chris, what did you have to eat at the theater, and how much did you drink?
Nothing at the theater. I drank a lot, but I didn't have anything to eat. They ate, I didn't.
Because he had nachos right before some bullshit.
So what did you eat before?
Me and Rose had we went to some taqueria nearby because we wanted to go to Bocanero, but they had a 30-minute wait. It was that fucking packed. So we went to some. We were just looking for a place to eat. Father said, "You know what? We're running out of time. Let's just go to this taqueria here." She got babe, what'd you get? Was it enchiladas? Enchiladas verdes. Yeah, those were good, but the nachos sucked.
The nachos.
All right, you ate all the nachos, right?
No, I didn't actually.
Oh, Mark, wrong again.
You put them in a takeout container. You took
them home and then never ate them again.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just want to make sure.
He's like, I didn't eat them. There was like three chips with no meat on there.
I didn't eat them all.
I left about half of it there, and I gave the rest of the fucking deer because they weren't really like they really.
Nachos. You gave nachos to deer.
The deer's in his neighborhood are all gonna be fucking like they're gonna be like 100 pounds overweight by the end of the year, dude.
They're just gonna be lazy, just have that look on his face, dude. Like they forgot how to pee and shit.
I hope they do.
Nachos for deer. Why the hell would you give nachos?
I throw out everything to deer.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Why would you give that to...
What else are they going to eat? What do you care? What are they going to eat?
He's all poisoning them and shit.
You think that the deer in the neighborhood are going to be able to survive with you not feeding them?
He's all, okay, great.
So what was it, four or four and a half?
He gave it 4.5, tough guy.
How much did you drink at the theater?
I had my normal 2 shots, a couple beers. So.
And you were able to pay attention to the movie?
I was. I wasn't even that buzzed, to be honest with you.
Oh, that's because you ate. Because you ate before that. You felt cheated yesterday.
I did. Anyway, so was it 4 or 4.5?
Anyway, Mark. He gave it a 4.5, dude. He said he was 4.5. He said he would have gave it a 6.5, but, you know, for reasons. But go ahead, Gabe. What was your rating and overall thoughts real quick before Chris starts feeding the deer nachos, dude? Supreme.
And you can ask Chris what he had for dinner. It's all right.
You don't know what I had for dinner, so shut up.
I didn't know. I don't know what you had for dinner.
Yeah, you do, so shut up.
I don't.
Yeah, go on.
Oh.
Gabe, what'd you think? What's your rating?
All right. Overall.
Snapping his fingers. Overall,
it's a good family film. It's great for the kiddos. There's probably some teens that'll probably go ahead and enjoy this, you know, that they like that fantasy stuff. You know, good for them. Honestly, I love the horror. I love blood. I love all that stuff. And yeah, I love family movies, and I like Disney movies too. But honestly, this just wasn't... the entertaining part was like the little kids, especially that little one podcast. He was funny as crap. I liked him. But, you know, like overall...
It was no Weekend at Bernie's. Is that what you're saying, Gabe?
That's exactly what... There was no Bernie in this damn movie at all. It was just a weekend. And it was a boring one at that. So honestly, I will give it that 6.5. I'll give it the 6.5 because, you know, I can sit there and watch it. I'm not going to, but, you know, I could watch it if, you know, if I was doing it for the family. I'll go ahead and do that. But, you know, for the families that love the family get together, I don't know if you all noticed, but I don't know why I was kind of watching this and I kind of picked at this whole movie. And while I was watching it, I did notice there was like, it's kind of weird for me to pick this out, but there was only one damn bad word in this damn movie. And they said the word asshole. And I was like, that's weird because they said all other kind of stuff. He was a jerk. He was a nobody. They said all kinds of weird things and they were throwing words at each other, but they only said like one bad word throughout this whole movie. I think this movie's like PG now. Right, is PG or PG-13?
I forgot.
I don't know. Regardless of the rating, I'll give it 6.5. I'm just gonna settle with that. I won't watch it again, but again, I would if the family gets together for Christmas or something and they want to watch this. And fine, I'll sit down and I'll watch it with them. But other than that, no, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, for me, 6.5, man. Not something I'll watch again. I grew up with, you know, hardcore shit as a kid. I grew up with The Dark Crystal, and it's PG-13, yeah. So I grew up with The Dark Crystal, Return to Oz, all that kind of shit. So for a kid's movie, you know, I grew up pretty hardcore, and this is kind of like, anyway. don't want to drag it out too long because, you know, Christopher Jay's over there throwing shit at Mark. So.
He's got to get buzzed right away. That's his whole fucking thing, right, Chris?
Yep.
I hope you guys enjoyed it. And we'll fucking see you on the next one.
Man, you got to be shitting me. That mother's strong.
He did it. So enthusiastic. All the enthusiasm with this motherfucker tonight. You gotta be shitting me. That mother's strong. Anyway, hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll see you on the next one. Too hot to handle, too cold to hold. They called the Ghostbusters and the end control. Had a throwing party for a bunch of children. Well, all the while, the slime was under the building. So they packed up and boom, got a grip, came equipped. Grabbed their proton packs off the back and they split. Put out a bomb of Eagle, the master of Eagle.